This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire. I go by Clizaire on the internet, and this is the podcast where people come on and tell me their stories. And this week I have with me Sabre. Hello.
Hello, Claire.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Would you like to introduce yourself, tell everyone where to find you on the internet?
Yes, my name is Singe Sabre. I am a rapper and a tarot reader. You can find me under Singe Sabre on a lot of platforms, including Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. That's S-I-N-G-E-S-A-B-R-E. And then for tarot readings, I'm under Sabre Tarot on YouTube. And you can also email me for readings. I'm doing a special for anyone who mentions Claire of $20 readings, which is a great deal. So that's sabretarot@gmail.com.
And you have a story for us today, or a set of stories, really.
Yeah, this is a set of some interesting and strange supernatural stories that happened to me. And it was a few different occurrences that all kind of form into a larger picture. I am from Albuquerque, New Mexico, here in the southwest of the United States. And I grew up in this area. And living right near the river, the beautiful Rio Grande River, there's the Bosque, and right outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico, is a little village called Corrales. And that's where I moved when I was around six from Albuquerque. And this is a very, very old place when it comes to human habitation. It was originally settled by the Spanish in around 1500 and by Native Americans in around 500. And so I just felt a deep link to this land growing up and hanging out in nature. And we would always go walking by the river forest, which is called the Bosque here. And so I would go there always with my friends. And one day we were walking by the Bosque and the river, just a normal thing. And I was talking about Robert Johnson, the blues singer, just with my friend Lars, and about how there was this legend that Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil for guitar playing abilities. And from then on, a hellhound had followed him around. And so we were walking by this kind of entrance area, and there was seven sticks laying on the ground. Someone had set them there next to the trail. My friend, who's a spiritually sensitive person, he kind of saw that as a bad omen. It was a bit of a stormy day. I didn't think anything of it. I was a little more closed off during that time. And so he wanted to turn around and head back. And so we went back. It was getting a little bit later, a little bit stormy. And I'm just a curious person. I was very naive during that time. And I decided I wanted to go back and enter into that area during the nighttime. And later on, I remembered a memory from years before this of something strange that had happened in that area, not necessarily supernatural, but years before this, I was in that area past the sticks, and I was there very late at night with my friends, and we saw this really weird guy who I thought was some sort of entity at first because it was just a black mass there on the trail. But then I spoke to him and he was acting kind of strange, and he had this huge black dog with him that looked like it had horns because of its ears, but just something that came to mind later on. And so, pardon me. So I decided to go back out there. And I was just walking down because I lived maybe about 10, 15 minutes from the river. I didn't even get that close. I started walking down the road, and this is an old dirt road. And, and this old dirt road had a lot of old cottonwood trees on it. And so the shadows would create a shadow within a shadow, just very, very dark that night. And I started walking forward and I thought I saw something in the shadows. And then I looked to my side and there was just a rabbit running by, just a normal thing. And then as I kept walking, I saw something still moving in the shadows and it walked right in front of me. And I was very skeptical at the time. I was a spiritual person, but I wasn't a full believer. I was still very skeptical about these things. And I had been an atheist for a long time. I was more agnostic at this time, but I thought it was a coyote, and it, looking back, it definitely did not look like one. It was much, much bigger. So I would say this thing was probably about 6 or 7 feet wide, standing sideways, and it was about five and a half feet tall, kind of the shape of a huge bear, but at the same time, shadowy, not something where I could see details. And as I walked forward, it steps right in front of my path, and something in me just refused to believe that this was something more than a coyote. And it definitely wasn't. And so I was frozen in my tracks as I saw it. And then, because usually a coyote will run away right away. And then it steps in front of me. And looking back, at the time, I didn't notice. Looking back, there was no noise when it stepped on the ground. If it was a creature that large, it would have made a sound. And then it, I assume it looks at me. I couldn't see any eyes. It was just a black mass. And then out of the darkness appeared its teeth in the shape of a box, kind of. And it just went right at me in my face. I freaked out, of course. I wasn't prepared for this. And again, I was just right by my house. I wasn't at the river yet. And so I turned around and I ran. I took out my phone flashlight and shined it. I didn't see anything back there, but I ran back, got in my car. I swung around the car and pointed the headlights down in that direction. There was nothing there. So as being such a skeptical person, I actually called the cops right away and I asked them if there had been any bear sightings in the area, because I was refusing to believe that I had a spiritual experience, because that's what I know it is looking back now. This is some creature from another realm. And so that was really the beginning of things. And from there on, my curiosity just really increased. I was freaked out, but I was also intrigued. And I felt, what was strange about the experience was, on some level, I felt a deep amount of fear, but on another level, there was no fear. There was just this curiosity and wonder, because my whole life, in some sense, I had prayed to have a spiritual experience. And I'm just kind of a dark person in certain ways. Listen to my music, it's very emotional and gritty. And so I had been almost a demonic rapper for a long time. And so for something like this to be my first super intense experience with an entity was, you know, very interesting. And so I
if you don't mind me interrupting you, what do you mean by demonic rapper?
Well, I've struggled. I've been rapping for more than 15 years now, and I've struggled a lot with my journey as a creative, and I'm not an average rapper, and my stuff is really strange. I've had a hard time translating it to recordings because I'm a freestyler a lot of the time, and I have a lot of self-doubt. And so during that time, I was very obsessed with dark music, from 1980s goth to modern horrorcore and Eminem and that sort of stuff. And so it was almost like channeling, like how people do with the Ouija board. When I would get really high on marijuana and I would just kind of channel this energy, and I would open myself up to these different channels, and it wasn't good, definitely wasn't good, but it made for some interesting experiences, because I was literally opening myself up to demonic presences, and because I didn't believe in those sort of things. It wasn't like I was doing it on purpose to summon these things. I literally didn't believe. And so I didn't care. I was very depressed. And so a lot of my stuff came out as almost like a guttural, growling demon rap, we would call it, or mixing it with emo, we would call it demo. And so it's weird looking back, because I'm not like that anymore. I don't even smoke anymore. It's weird looking back on those times, and I don't have much record of it, but my stuff is really different now, and I try to make it a lot more uplifting.
Sorry, to go back then to your story, that was your first sort of supernatural experience, and where did you go after that? Like, what happened next?
So after that, I decided to go back and try again, and I decided to bring a friend with me. It was a different friend this time. It was an artist friend, and he loved to paint the Albuquerque and New Mexico scenery. And we just happened to be hanging out, And so I thought, okay, this is a good opportunity to go back out there into the forest and explore. Now I have someone else with me and feel safer. And so we start walking out there. We get past the road. We get to the actual forest and the river. Everything seems really chill. I don't have any sort of shamanic intention or anything at this point. I'm just curious and I want to just hang out and have that experience. But at the heart of things, I wanted more. And so we started heading past those, that sticks area at the entrance. And so we get past there and everything seems chill. And then we walk around the corner, both of us stop and literally tell each other, stop in unison at the same time. We both saw something. To this day, I don't really know what he saw, but at the time he kind of explained it how I did. And it's hard to explain in human language, but it was much smaller this time, but the same shape. And so there was 3 to 4 of this same shaped creature, this very blocky, kind of like a big stubby bear. There's actually depictions of it in Native American artwork in this area of the country of a very basic kind of shape of a bear where it's like that. It has the little head, goes down and has the stubby legs and very simple, like a petroglyph. And so there was 3 to 4 of these things moving towards me like a caterpillar. And the only way I can describe it is as phase shifting, which means almost like when a black and white film is slowing down and you get that clipping motion. So it was clipping towards us, almost like when a video game is glitching. And right there, when we told each other stop, I turned on my phone light again, nothing there. And so from that point, we left. We were too freaked out to continue. And another thing that I'll add is where these sticks lead onto in that trail is this beautiful overlook and is really kind of the center of the forest of that whole entire city in a way. And the difference of this forest as opposed to other parts is there's much less city parts and the forest is much less cleared out. So this is as natural as it can be for this area of the city. So it's much more untouched than other areas. And again, people have been living in these areas and worshiping spirits like this for over 1500 years. And so then from then on, I felt the intuition again, because I even though I was very cut off from this side, I still was an intuitive person. I just didn't really understand it. And I'm still learning to understand that. But I had the feeling, and it always comes as a feeling here and here of wanting to go back out there. And just it's a drive, it's a desire. And so I decided to go, and I didn't feel the feeling to go back out to the forest. I felt the feeling to go back out where I saw that creature, which I call a shadow wolf or a hellhound. And so, and the term hellhound is just terminology. I don't think it was evil, but I walk back into that area and that darkness isn't there, but it is very dark in the shadows. And so I stand in the shadows and I feel the presence there, but I don't see it. And as I stare into the darkness, I just feel this black mass coming into my eyes. And literally I see it crawl into my eyes and it blacks out my vision. And of course, normally that would be a terrifying thing. And I was scared in a sense. It was similar to the first time, but I just felt comfortable and almost like being cradled by that energy. And so what my vision was blacked out and completely encompassed by it, and I couldn't see. But then as soon as I snapped and turned my eyes, I could see perfectly again. And then I heard a door slam at the neighbor's, and the neighbor kind of did a light scream and like something had surprised her. So I never found out what the rest of that was about. I never talked to them. And so that was the next part. And then we had gone and left kind of little offerings and shrines in the forest area, which I wouldn't necessarily do now, but it was just something we did just you know, silly, having fun back then. And a lot of times these little trinkets and statues we would leave out there would just disappear. I don't know if it was people taking them or other things or both. And so I had gone out there during the daytime this time. And I thought, you know, the daytime, I'm not going to have any sort of weird experience. And I was with a different friend this time. And we walked all the way out past the stakes, past the area where I saw the little, what I would call the cave bears, and got all the way out to the center, which we would call the heart center. And we were walking around that area. I looked down and I see some hair on the ground, and I kind of dig it out for a second. It looked like two or three people had buried their hair there, which seems like a, you know, a creepy thing, and it's associated with witchcraft and that kind of stuff. But after researching, I found out that there is a Native American ritual where after experiencing grief, people will cut their hair and bury it in a sacred place. So I don't know if this was something dark or something more beautiful like that, but you could tell it was there recently. So we reburied it. We didn't, you know, mess with that. And I ended up going home, and just another weird thing that was in that area. And so then the next thing that happened was that I was driving back home, and this was another few weeks later. And there was this rapper who passed away that I really liked called Lil Peep. And I was listening to him and I felt an intuition, but about something completely different. And it was years and years ago, we had this smoking spot we used to go to, we would call the makeout spot, but the road had washed out, so you couldn't get there anymore. I had this image in my mind that the road was fixed. So I turned up the dirt road, drove up there, and saw the road was completely fixed. And I thought this was an intuition. I just felt it was, it wasn't a thought. It was a feeling that this was an intuition that it was okay to go back out there into the forest. So I drove right to the forest. I had that feeling again. This time, of course, my reaction is always pull out the technology, pull out the phone cam, and not even take a picture, but shine the light on things. I'm not one of those people who's trying to document these things. Like with your story time podcast, life is made of stories. And I feel so grateful to have this experience. It's not a record that I can prove the supernatural, but I assure this is my experience of things. And so I decided I was going to leave everything in the car. I left my phone in the car. I just brought my keys and that's it. And so I started walking, and then it was brighter this night. The moon was out, and I made it past the sticks. I made it past the area where I seen the little cave bears. And I'm an egotistical person as much as anyone else. I started feeling a bit cocky about it. Like, oh, I'm not scared. I'm all alone. It was beautiful. And the detail I could see, it was almost like I could see in the dark. It was very strange, almost an altered state of consciousness, but I was sober. And the only thing I could compare it to was using psychedelics, where I could see this detail in the forest in the nighttime, which was felt supernatural, but it added to my, you know, cocky feeling of, oh yeah, I'm the big scary human out here, so brave. And so I keep walking and I'm just happy about it. And then all of a sudden I hear a crack, a loud crack coming from ahead before I get to the heart center. And I just stop, of course. And then I start kind of backing up and turning around because it was such a loud crack that you don't hear that kind of sound out there at night. It wasn't windy. The only time I've ever heard something like that was in a windstorm when a branch was knocked down, but it wasn't even close to being as loud as that. And so then I started walking quickly back. I hear another crack, very loud. And again, looking back on this, if this was some sort of physical creature running at me, I would have heard footsteps in between. And then I literally start running. That completely crushed all my egotism and just pure fear. Again, literally running for my life from the unknown. I hear a third crack, and then that's the spiritual numbers. Things come in threes. I run out back to the main trail, which is more of a human-made trail out of the forest. And I start walking back. And I hear this otherworldly screech or a scream. It was definitely not human. It sounded like a dying bird. I can't even redo it on this podcast. It's too disturbing, but I still remember it. And it was just this otherworldly screech, like something was dying. And so this was a much more unsettling experience than the other ones, but I still felt compelled, of course, and someone who faces, you know, the unknown, and it didn't feel like it was completed. So I have this spiritual friend who's like a guru figure who knows a lot about these sort of things and has lived with a lot of these types of experiences. And when you approach him about this, he's very matter of fact, like it's nothing. So I finally asked him about it and went and saw him. And so his response to it was, these were nature spirits, and the cracking noise was the trees, like Lord of the Rings, get up and walk around at nighttime. And so he was saying, you know, you've done these offerings of the shrines with these human-made statues. He was saying that the classic way that the Native American Indians in this part of the country would offer to the spirits in their rituals was like a peace pipe ritual with tobacco. And so me and the original friend who I had first gone out there and had discussed the hellhound with, we decided we were going to go back out, but do it respectfully and right and shamanically with the intention of offering to these spirits, not out of fear or even curiosity. There was a curiosity there, but the intention was this is ritual, not like magic ritual, but just this forest was very special to us. We had both grown up in this area. These trees had literally watched me grow up because I had lived in that area since I was six for about 20 years. And so that's on some level why my heart and my soul, my body knew that it was something not evil. My mind is what got in my way and perceived it as some sort of threat. And so we went back, we went to the entrance, we did the offering ritual with the tobacco. It wasn't anything fancy. We didn't learn any classic ritual or anything. It was just something honest and something to communicate. We're here with this offering of tobacco. We know this is traditionally what you like, these spirits. And we smoked a little bit of the tobacco and offered it there. And so we started walking in. Something felt different. It didn't feel as scary or antagonistic. And I do think that that's what these spirits were doing. They were pretending, or they tricksters playing the antagonist, because that's what my view of spirituality was. And I had a very negative view of God or creator or universe, whatever we want to call it. And so we continued together, and you know, when there's a evil or dark spirit, they have this thing. They say that there's a cold air and the room drops. This was the opposite. There was a warm air and a warm wind, and it felt like literally these little warm breezes were drawing us further in. And so finally, it brings us all the way down into the heart center, and we walk past all the stuff. We go, and it kind of is like a gateway where the wood has formed to make like an archway. So we go in, we do the final offering of the tobacco, and then we hear the coyotes start howling from across, and across the river is the Native American side where you're not allowed to go. We hear them over there, but they sound more like wolves this time. And so this is pretty much where the story begins to end, but this is the final experience. And it was much different because all of the other ones think based on some sort of fear or desperate hungering to have some external evidence of the spiritual world. This was an inner experience. And so we were sitting there and we started meditating. And in my mind, in the third eye, it was temporarily opened to see these two beings. And so in my mind's eye, the first one that I saw, it was a white background. And while meditating, I felt its presence and saw it. It was almost like being in a trance, but it felt real to me. And so this thing that I saw, she was a female energy. She looked like when the Virgin Mary has her shawl on, like that type of outline with the hooded figure. But instead of wearing a shawl, it was like she was wearing roots, and the background was a smattering of white and green leaves. And she herself was draped in white and roots. And she had the face of a snowy owl or a barn owl, but not something creepy, something very beautiful. And she just stood there. And so later on, I interpreted this as this was the divine feminine, the mother spirit of this forest. And that's another mythological thing. They say that each forest, each river, this is in Japanese mythology, all over the world in Native American mythology, of everything has a spirit, the animism. And so then the next thing that I saw was a very stark background, so completely white, not a busy, beautiful, leafy background like the other one. And this was the masculine spirit. And so fully white background, but in the middle, all the way down the middle, almost like a lightning strike or a very gnarled chili pepper, a dried out chili pepper, this long face of a sleeping man with a beard, but it's hard to explain because it was very thin, but I could see all of his features, of his eyes closed and his beard, and just golden bronze and just kind of like amber frozen in time. And it reminded me of the sarcophagus faces on the pharaohs and the long chin and everything. And so, yeah, I came out of that vision and just felt very lucky, and it was very beautiful. And what I realized was the message of this, of course, I could go in forever talking about what it meant to me, because it meant so much to me in so many ways. But what I realized was I didn't know at the time, but I was getting ready to finally move away after living there for more than 20 years. And although I would come back, it would never quite be the same. And this was the way that these spirits were pushing me on my way as I moved on in life and entered deeper into the human world and away from that sort of existence. So yeah, it was a beautiful experience in the end, but definitely scary at times going through it.
That's I'd say more supernatural experiences than the average person might get.
Yeah. And I've had other experiences, but it's not a super common thing for me. And that's why it was such a strange period of time. This transpired over a short amount of time, probably about 3 to 4 months overall.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories. Would you like to remind everyone where to find you on the internet?
Yeah, again, and I'm Singe Saber. I do freestyle rapping. I have songs and then also tarot reading. You can find me at SingeSabre, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and then Saber Tarot on Instagram and YouTube. And I am offering readings right now.
And I will have all your links down in the description on YouTube and in the show notes on the audio platforms. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. And thank you for listening. If you watch on YouTube, please subscribe, give the video a like. If you choose to listen on the audio platforms, if you could give us a rating, that'd be great. It really helps us out in the rankings. And I shall see you in the next one. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.